Friends, for the 6 weeks before Pentecost Sunday, last Sunday, we traveled throughout the ancient Roman Empire, following in Paul's footsteps to Thessalonica, Galatia, Philippi, Rome, and Corinth. Why did we do that? We did that because we believe that through the life of Jesus the Christ, the process of making the world a more just place began. In his life, through his love, Jesus disclosed the kingdom of heaven. He announced that the ending of the old had already begun and that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, was already among us. We were traveling to learn what we could about the first communities gathering in his name and how they were responding to his call and getting with the divine program that he inaugurated. We were doing so because we knew that it would soon be our turn again. And we wanted to be ready. Well, guess what? The time has come. Last week announced it. Pentecost Sunday. Jenna preached it as she shared with us the purpose of Pentecost. Because of Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit in our tradition and in our lives, everything changes. We celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter in our tradition, but that division, the division between Easter and Pentecost in the liturgical life of the church, reflects the storyline in Luke Acts, that two-volume set written by Luke. The Gospel of John doesn't recognize that separation. You may recall that Jesus appears to his disciples right after his resurrection, and he breathes on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit right then. But regardless of when it happens, friends, it happens. And it has happened again. To us and for us. And because it's happened again, everything changes. So our traveling has ended and our journey has just begun. No longer are we discovering how other communities are getting with the program of the kingdom of God on earth. Now we are discovering how we are doing it. Pray with me. Lord our God, we do pause to pray, to ask that you add your blessing to the reading and hearing of your holy word, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts that follow are acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, reading this morning from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, two short but powerful and provocative verses, verse 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The kingdom of God is among you. This phrase can be translated within you. The kingdom of God is within you. In fact, that intrigues me deeply to consider the implication of such a thing. I've taught some classes on that translation and preached a sermon or two on the implications of within. But a couple of things make that more personal translation difficult. First of all, in the Gospel of Luke, the you is plural in the phrase. And secondly, Jesus is talking to a group of people in that passage who have opposed his message, not embraced it. Jesus would no more say the kingdom of heaven is within you to the Pharisees in Luke's gospel than he would tell the poor that they were on their own. So as appealing as a more personal and individual interpretation is to us in the 21st century, Jesus is here establishing the kingdom of God among us. Or in the midst of us. This kingdom is a communal thing. We are going to have to figure out how we are getting with the divine program, how we are living into our call to further God's heaven on earth together. So as we begin in this ordinary time, this season after Pentecost, the longest in the church calendar, we may ask, how are we living into our call together? And curiously, as the Spirit would have it, just as we turn the corner from Pentecost and begin again to live into the Spirit that filled us last week and that leads us this week and in the months ahead, we are in part answering that question. Our denomination is meeting for its biennial general assembly. It meets to show the world in part how we live into our call to further God's heaven on earth together. It's a confirming and a challenging time for our denomination every 2 years when we gather all together in one place. The world watches, and that's not an exaggeration. The world watches, and the lives of each of our denomination's congregations, including our own right here in Pee-wee Valley, are confirmed and challenged as well. Let me remind all of you briefly, the General Assembly, our denomination's national body, meeting this year in Detroit, consists of commissioners elected by presbyteries. Half of the commissioners are ruling elders, half are teaching elders or ministers of the word and sacrament. The commissioners from Mid-Kentucky Presbytery are ruling elders, are Carol Pye and Rob Norse. Our teaching elders are Bren Bishop and Judy Hockenberry. These commissioners change every time the GA meets. Few of those gathering this year will ever have been commissioners to the General Assembly before. Most will have served in one of the other governing bodies of our church, the session, which provides care and oversight of a local congregation, the presbytery, which provides care and oversight of a group of congregations, or they've served in the synod, providing care and oversight for several presbyteries. So the General Assembly, this group of gathered elders, reviews the work of synods, resolves controversies in the church, is responsible for matters of common concern for the whole church, serves as a symbol of unity for the church. They seek to protect our church from errors in faith and practice, are responsible for assuring that the expression of our theology remains true to the biblical standards in our historic confessions. They present a witness for truth and justice in our community and in the world. They set priorities for our church. They establish relationships with other churches or ecumenical bodies. In short, they seek to discover the kingdom of God among us and lead the church in its Presbyterian expression in getting with that program, heaven on earth. And remember, this is done by a different group of Presbyterians every time the General Assembly meets. There are elected denominational leaders and national offices that organize and structure the conversation meeting after meeting, but the Spirit of God is discerned by the commissioners elected and gathered together, all in one place, Detroit, Michigan, this year. Now, one place that reports and recommendations come from are the various branches of the Presbyterian Mission Agency and the Office of the General Assembly. The office of that General Assembly, headed by our stated clerk, Grady Parsons, is the ecclesiastical arm of our church. The stated clerk and his staff work to ensure that the Presbyterian Church maintains itself as a church. The office of the General Assembly carries out constitutional and most all of the ecumenical functions of the General Assembly. Mission programs are carried out by the Presbyterian Mission Agency, which supervises the work directed to be done by the General Assembly and can make certain decisions on behalf of that group. That's a lot of details, I know, but it's all going on today, beginning today and this week. Overtures from synods and presbyteries, such as our own, are a second source of General Assembly business. These governing bodies use overtures to bring recommendations and matters of concern before the whole church. And that is the bulk of business that our commissioners and our denomination will engage this week. This year, the General Assembly has 76 overtures from the larger church to engage. These overtures include making statements, changing practices, We're taking action on such things as reorganizing the national church, reducing national gun violence, engaging a two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine controversy, reflecting on the plight of unwanted children, abortion, and sexual exploitation, divesting from fossil fuel companies, discerning the church's role in legal marriages, including same-gender marriages, engaging effective national drug policies, advocating for political and financial reforms, ending discriminatory policies in the Boy Scouts of America, addressing the use of unmanned aerial vehicles, better known as drones, affirming the importance of sustainable development around the world, studying end-of-life issues, helping to remedy the tragic conditions in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and celebrating the 500th birthday of John Knox. Friends, I read off that very partial list in part to ready you for the headlines of the week ahead. We mustn't and we don't shy away from the responsibilities we have been given as a church. Be prepared to enter into the conversation that is ours as members in the PCUSA. This is decent and in order, even as it is challenging and difficult. But I also share some of the business of our fellow Presbyterians in the week ahead to point out the monumental task of our church or any church that seeks to get with the divine program of heaven on earth. The assembly is going to break up into committees later today, actually, after their opening worship this morning, to consider each piece of business, from social justice issues to mid-council issues, to peacemaking, Middle East, international, theological, ecclesiological, ecumenical, political, foundational, environmental, and denominational issues. Each committee is responsible for considering their items of business and for reporting back to the General Assembly on completed actions or on their recommendations for the body as a whole. The combined insights of all of those on assembly committees become the recommendations to the whole assembly. If they are approved, they then guide the church in the years to come. Is there anyone here who has ever gone to the General Assembly and served as a commissioner or an observer in that body? Lynn, you have? Friends, it is a profoundly life-changing experience. Because of Pentecost, everything changes. We must follow the Spirit of God as it moves through our church and seeks to engage our church and all its members with the radical love and justice of God. We must follow the Spirit of God as it moves through the world and seeks to engage our world with that radical love and justice. On this first Sunday after Pentecost, we find ourselves hard at work in the fields of the Lord in virtually every aspect of human life, in virtually every corner of our globe. I know that this worries, frustrates, even angers some Presbyterians, perhaps some of you, but it shouldn't. It truly shouldn't. It is who we are. It is one way we are getting with the divine program of making this world a more just place for all. We will stumble and we will fall. We will argue and we will disagree. Some will even leave and perhaps come back. But however imperfect and haltingly, we will continue to engage ourselves and the world in the conversation that is ours with God in Jesus Christ. In a letter to the denomination last week in preparation for this General Assembly, our stated clerk, Grady Parsons, noted that this engagement, this conversation with each other and with the world began in 1706 when a few folks got together to form the first presbytery. He goes on to say that it picked up some energy when the newly formed General Assembly met for the first time in 1789. This conversation has been heated at times. It has been full of passion and sincere disagreements. This conversation also launched a 50-state church that spread the gospel around the world. It started schools, colleges, hospitals, and community centers. The conversation reached outside our church and connected with other denominations to form great ecumenical movements. Justice is the nature of this conversation. And he concludes that letter by noting that from 1789 to today, this conversation has pushed the church to create a world more like the kingdom of God. Once Jesus was asked when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor can we say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among us." So it is. Friends, as we discover this reality, may we continue to work to make it more so every day of our lives for the children of God and followers of Christ and men and women all around the world. Amen.